Right, today's reading comes from 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 5 and 29 to 33. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Two or three prophets should speak, and the other should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Put Matt up, I just want to quickly pray for him before he does, if that's all right. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Matt. We thank you for the words that you have already spoken through him recently. We just ask that now you would anoint the words and the preparation that he's done, you'd anoint them and you'd give us hearts and ears to hear what you have to say. In your blessed name, amen. Amen.
Hello, saints. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, gosh. I feel like the Lord's already kind of done me over already this morning. It's such a beautiful time in the Lord's presence so far. I'm really grateful to everyone who's shared. Thanks, Pete, for leading such a beautiful time of worship as well. And today we're going to be thinking about the gift of prophecy together. We're going to be concluding our teaching series called Eagerly Desire. I think this series has been really significant, actually, for us as a church. Didn't Shane do such a brilliant job a couple of weeks ago on tongues? I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And I want to say from the outset, whilst we've devoted the whole month of January to these three gifts, especially, that we've been kind of called to eagerly desire, the gift of healing, the gift of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. Friends, these gifts are not just for a calendar month in the year. So even though we're going to be moving on to different things in our teaching, these gifts are for always, every day, all the time, in and out of season. These gifts of the Spirit are available to us all the time. And I want us to believe that the Lord invites us to move regularly in these gifts. And it's been so encouraging hearing the testimonies that have come out over the past few weeks. And thank you, Anita, for what you shared this morning as well. And I'm really keen that we all get a chance to have a go this morning. So, you know, I've heard Anita's rebuke about boring preaching. I've heard that this morning. We're gonna try. I know. I'm joking. We're gonna try not to do that this morning. We're gonna try and leave time at the end for us to have a go and for us to step out into the prophetic. And what I really want to do, just in the time I've got with you now, is just to share what I think is some helpful teaching on the prophetic that is grounded in Scripture, some helpful best practice, some helpful do's or don'ts for us, and then we're going to have a go. Does that sound okay? That's what we're going to do. So if we can have our next slide. Thanks, Josh. So in 1 Corinthians 14:3, which Robin just read to us, we read this, that all prophecy should be for people strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. It's pretty good, right? So I'm well up for being strengthened, encouraged, and comforted. I'm sure you are too. And so the first thing I want to say this morning, and this isn't rocket science, very basic application of Scripture, but any prophetic word that is shared, given, or spoken should be for the encouragement and the building up of the person it's given to. OK? Okay, prophecy is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. But I do want to say that although prophetic words should and will always be encouraging and edifying, just because something is encouraging and edifying, that does not automatically make it a prophetic word. For example, Lee, you're looking wonderful this morning. Your beard is glistening with the vitality of youth. That's not necessarily a prophetic word. It's encouraging, it's edifying, hopefully, but that's not a prophecy. So just because something is encouraging and edifying, that does not automatically make it prophetic. Prophecy in its most simple sense, in its most general sense, is concerned with the future. It's concerned with the future. And with foretelling what is unknown. And I'm going to dive into this a bit more. Words of knowledge, on the other hand, which are part of the prophetic, but words of knowledge speak into what is already known. Words of knowledge speak into what is already known. For example, and we had this at Emmanuel a few months ago, I gave a word that there were people, or I had a sense there was someone with pain in their right foot. Three people responded to that word. That was not something that I was planning on doing that morning. I suddenly got a shooting pain in my right foot. I'm not someone that struggles with pain in their right foot. I felt that was the Lord asking me to give that word. And three people responded, one of whom actually prayed for, laid hands on their foot. And they shared a testimony that they were healed a few weeks after that. That was Anita, if anyone was there and remembers that. So words of knowledge speak into what is already known. Anita already knew she had pain in her right foot that morning. I didn't, but the Lord did, and the Lord revealed that. If we can have our next slide. Thanks, Josh. So prophecy, and I find this really helpful to hold on to. Prophecy, the prophetic, is involved with both foretelling, so it can reveal and predict the future, and forthtelling. It can cause the future to happen. It can bring the future into being. And I want to say that although there are those who are especially gifted when it comes to the prophetic, the ministry of the prophetic is not limited or consigned or reserved for special designated prophets alone. And we might be tempted to think this when we read Ephesians 4:11 and the kind of gift of prophecy that some are given. But I want to say that all of us are invited. All of us are invited to prophesy. I would actually go as far as to say all of us are expected to prophesy. Just as all of us are expected to evangelize, but not all of us are evangelists. Does that make sense? So all of us are called to share our faith, to speak about our love of the Lord, but not all of us will have the kind of the heart, the passion, the gift of an evangelist. And it's the same with the prophetic. All of us are called to prophesy, to speak these words of strengthening, comfort, and encouragement, but not all of us will necessarily carry a special prophetic anointing. Bishop David Pitches, the former Bishop of Chile, the founder of the New Wine Summer Conferences, helps unpack this further, and I find this really helpful. He writes this: though all can prophesy by virtue of the Holy Spirit's anointing, not all are prophets. Though all can manifest the gift of prophecy, only some are appointed to the ministry of a prophet. So I'll read that again. Though all can prophesy by virtue of the Holy Spirit's anointing, not all are prophets. Though all can manifest the gift of prophecy, manifest just means reveal or show the gift of prophecy, only some are appointed to the ministry of a prophet. And if we have our next slide, thanks, Josh. When thinking about prophecy, we must remember these verses in Joel are beautiful. Remember the prophetic vision in Joel 2:28, which was fulfilled at Pentecost in the book of Acts. And this is what the Lord promises in Joel 2, that he will pour out his spirit on all people. Notice that total language, not just some, not just those who look great or have got their lives together, on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And if we have our next slide, John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Movement, famously said this: everyone gets to play. And this is true not just of the prophetic, but of all kinds of things. But I firmly believe in the priesthood of all believers. Yes, I'm an Anglican priest. I've been through training college. I've had ordination services. But each one of us are priests in the Lord. It's and everyone gets to play. And that's my vision for us as a church, that all of us will feel empowered and encouraged to step out into our particular callings and giftings. So everyone gets to play. Keep that in mind. Those introverts in the room who are already wanting to sink into their chair and think that the idea of doing some kind of group exercise in a few months' time is the worst thing you've ever heard. In our Bible reading for today, in 1 Corinthians 14, 31, Paul reminds us that we, the people of God, can all, again, notice the language in Paul here. This is 1 Corinthians 14, 31. All prophesy in turn so that someone, no, some people, no, so that everyone, again, we have that kind of language of universality, all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. This gives me great hope that actually the Lord has designed this gift to work in such a way that all of us can play a part. And I just want to share a few thoughts now around kind of good practice when it comes to the prophetic. So I'm going to share some thoughts now around the purpose of prophecy, the practice of prophecy, and how we should respond to the prophetic. So if we have our next slide, thanks, Josh. When it comes to the purpose of the prophetic, these are really, really important things to hold on to. Good practice grounded in Scripture. First of all, prophecy always brings glory to Jesus. Prophecy should always bring glory to Jesus, not to the one speaking, but to Jesus. It says in Revelation 19:10, "For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus." So when we prophesy, when we step out, as Justin did, when we give someone a word, we're doing so to bring glory to Jesus. Next, when it comes to the purpose of the prophetic, and I've mentioned this already today, prophecy builds up, encourages, comforts, and consoles. That's one of the purposes of prophecy. It's to build up, encourage, and to comfort. And by the way, encouragements can include rebukes. And we don't always like this. And actually, Old Testament prophecy is considerably different in one sense to New Testament prophecy. But actually, a word of warning from the Lord is for our ultimate encouragement. When we remember that Scripture says he disciplines the ones he loves. And it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Okay? So it's important to not kind of limit encouragement to nice fluffy visions of waterfalls and eagles and you know, all the kind of things that we might hear. Next, unlike the Old Testament prophets, and I just alluded to the difference, who sometimes use the prophetic to pull down, to denounce, woe to you, da-da-da-da. You know, they're full of woe, the Old Testament prophets. Paul teaches the Corinthians, and by extension us believers today, he teaches us that prophecy is for the positive building up of the church. Prophecy is for the positive building up of the church, and we see that in 1 Corinthians 14:3. And again, in this same passage, unlike the gift of tongues, prophecy serves as a sign for unbelievers. Prophecy serves as a sign for unbelievers to convince them of the truth of God. Isn't that amazing? So there, I don't know, there may be people in this room who've not yet given their lives to the Lord. Maybe people in this room who think, what on earth have I come to this morning? I don't understand any much of what's going on. But actually, it might be that God will speak to you this morning through a word that he gives someone else. And that's a sign that you are known intimately by God, loved by him, and that he longs to share more of his love and longs to get to know you more, for you to know him. And then finally, prophecy is not the same as Scripture. Okay, this is important to hold on to. It's great sharing verses of Scripture with one another. All of us have probably got those fridge magnet verses at home. Jeremiah 29:11, John 3:16. Anyone give us a wave? But prophecy is not the same as Scripture. If we have the next slide, thanks, Josh. Michael Green, an amazing man, said this, and I find this really helpful. Prophecy is a particular word for a particular congregation or person at a particular time through a particular person. Scripture is for all people in all places at all times. That's the difference. I find that really helpful. Does that kind of make sense? So prophecy is a particular word for a particular congregation or person at a particular time through a particular person. It's particular. Scripture is for all people in all places at all times, and that's the difference. So that's something, some insights there around the purpose of the prophetic. Next, if we think about exercising the prophetic or practicing the prophetic, I just want to share these few thoughts, which again, I hope will be helpful to us. As with all the spiritual gifts, love must be the dominating and overriding motive. Do you remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:1? Before we're told to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gifts of prophecy. And we talked about this at the beginning of this series. First thing Paul says, follow the way of love. Follow the way of love. So love conquers all. Okay? The Beatles were right, those great prophets. Love is all you need. Okay? Love must be the dominating and overriding motive. Next, the gift of prophecy should be eagerly desired. Okay, we can take Paul at face value, take him at his word. I regularly ask the Lord to give me that hunger for the gifts of his Spirit. I do believe, Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. Such a good thing to pray. God, may I be someone that eagerly desires the gift of prophecy, even though right now I'm just eagerly desiring to go back to bed. It's good to pray for this Spirit-filled hunger. Next, there is wisdom in restricting prophecies to two or three at a time. In our reading that Robin just read to us, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29, Paul writes this, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Actually, it can sometimes be unhelpful to have a kind of a voluminous kind of waterfall of prophetic words shared, because we're so kind of scattered and thinking about the next one and the next one and the next one, and we're not necessarily sitting and kind of weighing what's already been shared. So there's wisdom in restricting prophecies to two or three at a time. And also, when it comes to practicing the prophetic, it's important just to recognize that supernatural revelation, divine revelation, can come in a number of ways. Okay, so prophetic words may come as we meditate on scripture, may come through visions. It may come through dreams, it may come in times of worship that we've just had, may come through trances, and we see this in Acts 22, comes through impressions, a thought, a word, a picture. It can come through an audible voice. I've never had that one. I would love to have that one. Come through physical sensations, pain or tingling, or even through angelic visitation. Supernatural revelation can come in a whole host of ways, and it's important that we're open to that and not limiting how we think the Lord will speak. Next, prophecies don't have to be long-winded or loud or dramatic. That's great. That's really good. I might also say sermons don't need to be long-winded. Prophecies don't need to be long-winded or loud or dramatic, and can be uttered quietly and gently. One of my favorite and I think most fascinating verse in the Gospels is where it says, and Jesus drove out the unclean spirit with a word. Some people even translate that as whisper. What did he say? And sometimes, especially in charismatic circles, we can be drawn to the spectacular, to what seems kind of exciting and flashy and loud and grandiose, but actually prophecies don't need to be long, lengthy, loud, or dramatic. Next, the one prophesying should always be fully in control of himself or herself, and it's helpful and it's wise not to express yourself with too much emotion, as this can become counterproductive and unhelpful. I'm not talking about genuine emotion that the Lord is stirring. I'm talking about resisting that sense to have to kind of ham something up or kind of make it more exciting or more dramatic. Because God is a God of self-control. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. We're not taken over. We're suddenly not, you know, God's not taking hold of our wheel and making us drive to Skegness when actually we wanted to drive to Edinburgh. That's not kind of how the prophetic works. The one prophesying should always be fully in control of himself or herself. I think this is really helpful, this next one. The one prophesying can wait. You can wait to share a prophetic word. You do not have to give or utter or share a prophetic word instantly. In our reading for today, in verse 32, it says, the spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. God might speak to you, but he might say, don't share that just now. Or he might ask you to pray on it further and then share it with someone in the week. It's okay to wait. We don't have to give prophecies instantly and straight away. And we also don't need to worry or fear about forgetfulness. Some of us might do in the room. Some of us might have forgotten, and that was one of our worries already. But Jesus has promised that the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. So it's okay to wait, and the Lord will help us recall what we need to. Another really helpful thing when it comes to practicing the prophetic is to beware of continuing in the flesh once the initial prophetic anointing and revelation has lifted. Okay, it can be really tempting when we give a prophetic word to then jump into translator mode and say, oh yeah, you know, I had this picture and this is what I believe the Lord's saying. And then the reason I think he said that is because of this, and that's because of this. And actually sometimes the Lord won't give us the full picture. Sometimes we won't know all the details. We're just called to be faithful and to share what God has asked us to share. So beware of continuing in the flesh. Resist that temptation to have to explain. I think that's helpful when it comes to the prophetic. And again, this is so, so important. The language of humility is so key when it comes to the prophetic. Okay, friends, can we not be a church, thus saith the Lord? Can we not be one of those? Can we be a church of humble prophets that say, I could be wrong, but I think the Lord might be saying, or I have a sense that maybe, and that's not a lack of faith, that's just grounding it in a humility and in the biblical reality that not all of us get it right all of the time. In fact, none of us do. Okay? And for me, that takes the pressure off. God doesn't expect me to have a 100% accuracy record. Scripture doesn't expect that either. And whilst I believe we do learn to discern more and become more attentive to the voice of God as we grow in the prophetic, actually the language of humility is key. You would get so annoyed if every time we interacted, I said, hi, I'm Matt, like all the time. Every time we chatted, it would be slightly strange. And I don't think we need to do the Lord says, thus saith the Lord. Let's use the language of humility. And also I just want to say, from a pastoral practice and a pastoral malpractice point of view, I want to say it's very, very wise and a very, very good idea never to prophesy births, deaths, or marriages. Okay? It might be that the Lord gives you a prophetic word for a friend who's perhaps desperate to have children and hasn't been able to, or desperate to get married and hasn't met someone. But it's really wise and really good, loving practice, if we're following the way of love, never to prophesy births, deaths, or marriages, because the amount of damage that can follow from those words is really, really grim. Okay? So I'm not knocking that God can give us those words. In that scenario, if you really feel God has given you a word like that for someone, just pray for that person and pray that word would come to fruition. Don't share it with them. Share it with them after they've got married or after they've had a child. That's okay. Okay? But not before. And then finally, and I'm whizzing through this morning because I want us to have time to respond. Finally, when it comes to responding to the prophetic, so we've looked at the purpose of the prophetic, we've looked at kind of wise do's and don'ts when it comes to practicing the prophetic. Then when it comes to responding, because we give prophecy, but we're called to respond to prophecy. First of all prophecy should be carefully weighed. And actually, you could think of weighing scales. All of us, when we were born, we were carefully weighed. Some of us may choose not to carefully weigh ourselves at the moment because it's quite grim reading. But all of us are called to carefully weigh prophecy. Two or three prophets should speak, says Paul in verse 29, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, we're told to test everything. And the reason we do this is because we don't always get it right. We can be misled, our emotions can be at play. They can cloud or distort things. It's actually sometimes, in my experience, harder to have a prophetic word for people we know really well. Because there's all this other stuff going on that we know about them, or interactions or conversations we've had with them. So weigh carefully, test everything. And friends, sadly, and I need to just acknowledge this in the room, sometimes in God's church, there are those who will willfully deceive or manipulate others through the prophetic. And it's been breaking my heart this week watching just stories of churches where that's been the case, where actually there's been deception and manipulation, and we're not called to do any of that. Again, in that heart of wanting to test everything, weigh everything, we should test everything against the touchstone of Scripture. Okay, so if we're given a prophetic word, and we feel actually it goes against what Scripture says, that's probably not a word from the Lord. Okay, so test everything against the touchstone of Scripture. Again, a prophecy should be tested by whether it confirms what God is already doing. This is amazing. You might have been having amazing times with the Lord, or be part of a prayer group or a home group, and God has really been speaking to you about something, or you've been talking about something with the Lord, and then someone speaks into that with a prophetic word, and it just confirms what he was already saying, what he was already doing. That's amazing when that happens. Prophecy should be tested by whether it confirms what God is already doing and saying. And again, a prophecy should be tested by determining its benefit or its impact or its fruit. If a prophetic word leaves you feeling miserable, rotten, shame-filled, unworthy, and of no use to God or anyone, then that's not a prophetic word. Why? Because prophecy is to strengthen, encourage, build up, and comfort. Okay, so we can test the prophecy by its impact. How did that word make us feel? How did that leave us feeling? By its fruit, what has happened as a result of responding to this word? Again, we said earlier, it's okay to wait. Like Mary, there are times when actually the right response is just to treasure things in our hearts. Okay? Mary stored up these things in her heart, it says in Luke 2:51, after the angel visited her. We don't always have to take immediate action when we're responding to a prophetic word, unless the prophecy is a kind of clear confirmation of what God has already been doing and saying. This next one's really important when it comes to responding to the prophetic. It's really wise never to act on a single prophetic word alone, okay? So do not make big life choices, big life decisions based on one prophecy alone. Weigh it against Scripture. Talk to trusted friends. Seek wise counsel. See how it aligns with other words people may have given you. Again, the character of the person sharing a prophecy is relevant, okay? It's actually quite important that the character, the motives of the person sharing prophecy. Jesus says this in Matthew 7, it's by their fruit that you will recognize them. And in that context, he's talking about prophets and false prophets. It's by their fruit you will recognize them. There are false prophets in the world. There are false prophets in the church who prophesy with ungodly, manipulative, and sinful intentions. Okay, so the character of a person giving us a word is of some relevance. And the last couple, whilst we must follow the way of love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, we mustn't overvalue prophecy. Okay? We mustn't overvalue prophecy because we know and we prophesy in part, which is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:9. It's only later when all of us are before the Lord in glory that we will know and see in full. But having said that, we must not undervalue prophecy. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, it says in the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians. Do not quench the Spirit. So we mustn't overvalue prophecy and we mustn't undervalue prophecy. It's a gift of grace from us, to us, from the Lord, to his church. And we must treat it and receive it as such. Okay, we've got 15 minutes left. That's almost all from me this morning. In a moment, we're going to respond. I just want to share, I've been seeking all this week. I just want to share some words that I feel the Lord has given me. And in a moment, I'll talk about what we're going to do. But I had, in worship, actually, I had a picture of a three-pronged fork. And I felt like the Lord was showing me a fork in the road. That was the sense I had. And there's someone here, I think you've even used that phrase. That's what I felt the Lord was showing me with someone, that you've come to a fork in the road and you don't know where to go. And I felt the Lord saying to you that the three prongs on that fork were a reminder were a reminder of the Trinity, of the three in one being with you. And I felt my sense was that the Lord was saying to you, it doesn't matter which route you take, he will be with you. Okay, he will be with you. So I'm sharing that with you. Next, I felt like the Lord gave me a picture of a potter's wheel. I don't often get pictures. It's quite unusual for me. Picture of a potter's wheel. I don't know if there's someone here that's recently started making pottery. And as someone using the wheel, becoming frustrated because everything they were trying to create wasn't the shape or size. It wasn't the kind of outcome they were wanting or hoping for. And my sense was that the Lord was saying, you need to use fresh clay. I don't know what that means. I'm just sharing that with you. You need to use fresh clay. And I also had a picture of someone walking through a long corridor, and there was those kind of automatic strip lights kind of overhead. And normally as you walk into each new part, the light goes on. But in this picture, the lights were going off one by one. So as a person was walking through this corridor, the lights were turning off one after the other, and there was a kind of growing sense of darkness and despair. And then someone handed the person in this picture a pair of night vision goggles. And actually, they could suddenly see that there was all this stuff around that they hadn't realized was there. And actually, they realized as they walked, the lights weren't going off. Actually, lights were on, but they just weren't visible to the naked eye. And my sense was that God was saying that you need to put on your night vision goggles, and that the light shines in the darkness. And then finally, and I could be wrong, but finally, I believe there's someone here whose mother-in-law is unwell, who's sick at the moment, and I have the name Diane or Diana. Again, I could be wrong, happy to be wrong, but I'm just sharing what my sense was. So just by show of hands, just give us a wave. If you don't need to say which of those, but do any of those resonate with anyone? Just by show of hands, and it's fine if not. Thank you. Thank you. This is part of testing everything. It might be that they were all wrong, okay? But actually, it's really, really helpful just to... You can help those who prophesy by kind of responding. And actually, it's really encouraging when we see people responding. And then finally, I just want to share a couple of brief personal testimonies, and then we're going to get into groups. There have been countless occasions where the Lord... has given me a prophetic word for someone. There's two that stand out in particular. One was we did a 24/7 prayer week when I was at London School of Theology, and we took over an empty taxi kind of company building on the high street in Northwood near the train station. I signed up for the kind of 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift, and prayed through the night and was worshiping, and I really felt the Lord just give me a name, and I was like, that's really odd. And the name was Greg. And I just kind of put that to the back of my mind, was worshiping. And at about 3 a.m, a guy came in who wasn't exercising in full the gift of sobriety. And he came in and we started to talk. And I suddenly remember the Lord prompted me, do you remember that name I gave you? And so I said to this guy, this is really odd. And I know this sounds strange, but does the name Greg mean anything to you? And the guy burst into tears, and it turned out he'd become estranged from his brother, who was called Greg, and it just led to a beautiful opportunity to pray for this person and for them to be reconciled. And that's what I meant earlier when I said prophecy is forth-telling. It can bring the future into being. Actually, through that prophetic word, God brought reconciliation into that family. Similarly, doing prophetic evangelism on the streets of Derby, where everyone calls you Duck for some reason, they up Duck, there was a doorman, and I felt the Lord tell me to go and speak to this scary-looking doorman and give him a word. And again, it was a name. I can't even remember the name. I said, does this name mean anything to you? And again, he was gobsmacked. He said, that's my dad's name. We just had a blazing row. We were fisticuffs, threw drills at each other. And it was an opportunity just to pray for this doorman, for them to be reconciled. And then finally, and I was reflecting on this with Peter and a few others earlier, it's over a year ago today that I was at Emmanuel, and we had someone called Andrew Chapman speaking on the prophetic. It was a day before my interview, and my family and I came, and Andrew stood up at the end of his sermon and said, the Lord give me a word about your new minister. And I remember nudging Sarah, being like, uh-oh. Hopefully he's not about to say she's blonde, skinny, and... and actually, Andrew shared, your new minister looks like a rugby player. It's got the build of a rugby player. And then bizarrely, so I was like, oh, that works. I'll take that one. And then bizarrely, a month or so later at a conference, someone completely different said, Matt, I just have a picture of you as a rugby player, kind of rucking for the ball, bringing others into play. There's lots of kind of associated stuff with that word. But I was like, thank you, God. You've just really, really spoken. And I can't believe that was over a year ago. That is... That's mad to think about. Anyway, enough from me. What we're going to do is we're going to give this a try. Is that okay? Yeah? I know this is scary for some. If this is so scary for you and so uncomfortable for you, please just say, okay, as we break into groups in a moment, just say, do you know what? I'd rather just listen and observe. But please do listen and observe, because I still believe the Lord will encourage you, okay? But I would love to encourage all of us just to give this a go, okay? So we've got about 10 minutes before we need to pick up the kids. Can we just get into groups of three? Feel free to that either be with people near you or someone you don't know. We're going to get into groups of three. Could one person share really briefly a very brief testimony of a time when God spoke to them and what happened? Very briefly, just one testimony, because the Lord often speaks in atmospheres of praise and worship where we're giving him glory. And then we're just gonna pray for one another, and we're just going to share words of encouragement for one another as we think the Lord leads us.